Hey, everybody. On this week's episode of Whiskey Neat with your host, me, Christopher Hart, I sit down with, and I want to make sure I pronounce it correctly, Kelsey McKechnie and Charlotte Voisey with William Grant & Sons. We talk about a brand new bourbon coming to market, and I know what you're thinking. William Grant & Sons makes some phenomenal scotch. They make Glenfiddich. They make Balvenie. But Fistful of Bourbon was their ode to American whiskey, their dedication to us. It was their attempt to take the 200 plus years of blending that has become a staple in the Scotch world when they blend barrels together and try to find the right profiles for this or for that, and to try to blend together a blend of five straight bourbons here in America and just release it to market. I had the absolute honor a few months back to kind of sign a super secret non-disclosure agreement and kind of sample out what they were working on, and I couldn't have been happier about it. They made a blend of five bourbons, all straight bourbons, all over 2 years old, and the shelf price is $24.99. It's being launched in Texas first. I had it in a couple cocktails, an old fashioned. It's absolutely, it makes a great old fashioned. I was very happy with it. But for $24.99, you're talking about just a straightforward bourbon. And I couldn't be happier. So it's here now. It's in the Texas market. You can find it pretty much anywhere. But I sit down with Kelsey, Charlotte and Kelsey, and we talk for 45 minutes about what William Grant's doing, the history behind the brand. Of course, the new Fire and Cane that's coming out in about a month. And it's just, I couldn't be more excited. Without further ado, Charlotte Voisey and Kelsey McKechnie of William Grant and Fistful of Bourbon. Cheers. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you guys here.
Thanks very much. I've
been working with Danielle for 3 years now, and we've done a lot together, and I could not tell you how excited I was when she was like, "Hey, we're coming out with this new release. We'd like your input." And just being a guy who just likes to drink, being given the honor of like taste testing something before it comes out is just the nerd in me is very excited. So
that's great.
But tell me about it. So from what I understand, you guys are coming out with a brand new bourbon. It's here. I know a few places, like I know Boss Cat has it, and we'll be doing that later this evening.
Yep.
But fill me in. What's the story behind it?
So it really had came to our minds a few years ago, because the way that we blend Scotch whiskey, we do it day in, day out, marrying different flavors together to create something really new and unique. So because bourbon's such a huge industry, we were a bit like, let's play in this category ourselves. We want to get to know it a bit more. So we started basically sampling everything and anything that was going. So if we had a whiff of a sample going anywhere, we were sending it back to Scotland. We've got this tiny little nosing and tasting room. So we had a jam-packed with samples. And we just started nosing everything and pulling out the ones that we really liked, something that was a bit new and unique, to add complexity and depth the way that we do in Scotch.
In Scotch, yeah.
That's what we were wanting to do with Fistful. So what we were eventually doing is, once we had mountains of samples, we started cutting the process down.
Yeah, cutting it down, yeah.
Exactly, and really pulling out the ones that we really liked. So then we made the process smaller and smaller until we decided we wanted to start blending at that point. So we've got all the ones that we really like, and then start marrying them together. So we've made this blend, we've pushed and pulled out different proportions of each spirit, so that's a blend of five straight bourbons, and then when we finally landed on it, the magic blend, it just happened to be Fistful, so that's why I've called it Fistful, because it's five straight bourbons.
Yeah, it's something that a lot of people, it's piqued their interest. I mean, obviously, everyone's first thought is Fistful of Dollars,
you know,
from so many years ago, that Clint Eastwood movie, but it's phenomenally interesting, the idea, because you guys actually, your first, and correct me if I'm wrong, your first dipping your toes in the realm of the bourbon world, at least with the Scotch world, trying to introduce people to Scotch was the Glenfiddich 14, right? So I know that you guys, the family company also owns Hudson, mm-hmm. but the Glenfiddich 14 Bourbon Reserve, Bourbon Barrel Reserve, was one of the first introductions for a lot of people I know that I always point them, you know, bourbon lovers are crazy, right? They're fanatics. Yeah. They're such a passion behind it. And anytime they say, okay, well, what scotch should I go to? Well, yeah. Glenfiddich 14. So to see you guys take that tradition, I mean, hundreds of years, yeah. that family-owned company, and turn it into now going the other way, right? Yeah. Getting that passion behind a new product is just is exciting. Yeah. So I haven't tasted it since we sampled it so many months ago, but I definitely want to do it now.
Yeah, definitely. Great. Go for it.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. You're doing us proud.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying. And if I'm not mistaken, you guys are releasing it here first. Texas is getting it first. And I had mentioned this before, mm-hmm. off air, every time a new whiskey comes out, bourbon in particular, it's been such a, I don't want to say bandwagon, but it's been such an exciting thing where everyone realizes the boom that's happening, that everyone's jumping at releasing a $100 whiskey. In fact, we ourselves, just participated in a pick for another company, and it was an 8-year old whiskey at almost $90. So it's something that you're like, oh God, just when is this going to stop? Because it's something that used to be very reasonable, and it's moved towards this extremely expensive habit, right? Not a habit, a hobby would be a better word for it. But you guys came out with a new bourbon, and it's $25, $24.99.
Yeah, exactly.
And to do everything and all that effort of blending and bringing those things together. And like you said, you went through a mountain of samples and five different distilleries all over the US, right?
Yeah.
And for it to be so reasonably priced, it's just what's not to like about it. You know what I mean? And plus, I'm excited. My first dip into whiskey was an old fashioned, and I think that's what you've got over there is the ingredients for an old fashioned. So I'm excited.
Yeah, we'll try that in a little bit.
Yeah. So that definitely been the goal for us, because we were wanting to provide something around the price point that's accessible for everyone, but it's got the nose and the taste of something that you'd expect at a far higher price point. Yeah. So through obviously blending and the way that we do it in Scotch, that's what our big focus was on. We really wanted to bring that back and actually to say to people, let's appreciate it for something new and unique. So it's a blend of all these flavors. We wanted to make it really complex, a lot of depth to it. So hopefully you're picking up what we are saying on.
Yeah, no, I think it's really it's a really easy drinking, and it's not one big complaint that the bourbon world has with a lot of companies historically, whether it's Scotch or otherwise, is this incessant need to do the minimum, meaning everything's 80 proof. You know, there's nothing, no one's taking the extra step. And if I'm not mistaken, this has got a little bump to it.
It does.
Yeah. 90 proof. Yeah. I could taste a little bit more heat on it, you know, and I've always argued that flavor is tied directly to proof. And I don't mean that necessarily something that is the highest proof is necessarily the most flavorful. Yeah. Obviously you reach a point where it just blows your whole palate out. But to just give it a little bump extra to find that sweet spot is a sign that you're putting a little bit more effort in what you're doing. And I applaud you for it.
Yeah, thank you. No, we like to think so. And at least when it's 90 proof, then it gives everyone the option to add that little bit of water in there, just really open it up and then push a lot more of the flavor just up into the nose and really release it. So, you know, we pick up the more vibrant notes in the nose.
Yeah, and the higher proof also really lends itself well when it comes to mixing cocktails. Just find that little bit of a bump in the proof just goes a little bit further in a mixed drink. So I have appreciated that on the mixology side.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I mean, as a whiskey lover, you want to be able to taste your whiskey.
Of course.
And when it reaches a certain point that it's so cut down that all you're tasting is, you know, bitters or
everything else.
I prefer a little extra flavor bump. You know what I mean? I'm getting a lot of number four, the buttery toffee note.
Yeah.
And for those who can't see, so barrel profiles, the first one, your backbone was balanced and sweet. Your second one was green, leafy, and floral. Third is soft spices, hints of nutmeg. Four, buttery toffee, which I'm getting a ton of buttery notes, like really just a very oily, buttery candy. It reminds me of Werther's Original.
Yeah.
And then number five was cinnamon and licorice.
Yeah, you get that real mouth coating effect at the end. So you're left with the toffee sweetness coming through and then a little bit of spice. So,
yeah.
This is my favorite part. I want to do this.
Now you're just teasing everyone.
And like I said, these are out now. What are the plans for national release? What's the story there? When are we going? We're starting in Texas. What's next?
So there definitely is a bigger plan, but what we thought we would do is start out in Texas because everyone here knows their bourbons and there's definitely a huge appetite for new and exciting variants. So we really wanted to bring this here and then challenge everyone, just say, let's think about bourbon a little bit different, because we didn't want to go in and say, this is the X, Y, and Z. We really want to say, this is the art of blending, this is how we do it in Scotch, and, you know, let people ask a little bit more about what we do.
Sure. We, you know, the online community has exploded, right? Everyone, for good or bad, everyone is interacting with each other across state lines for the first time ever. Well, I mean, it's been happening for a long time in message boards, but it's a different evolved way now with pictures and not just, you know, your message boards. Yeah. And there's another group in Arizona called the Arizona Bourbon Society, who's got a few key influencers. Mm-hmm. You know, Maggie Flores is one of them. She's got this awesome Instagram account, and she's begging me to find and send her bottles so she can talk about it. Oh. And it's just something that's you're seeing, of course, as soon as the press release came out and the article that was written that had the picture of the Clint Eastwood screenshot.
Yeah, Wayne Curtis's article.
Yeah, so it made its way across the boards. Yep. Tons of questions. Everyone's, you know, there's hesitance, there's skepticism. But in essence, in its purest form, you're talking about a blend of five bourbons, still bourbon. It's not blended whiskey. It's a bourbon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And for $25, I mean, there's no hype behind it. There's no, it's very direct. You know what I mean? It's butterscotch all day. I'm definitely enjoying it.
Yeah, great. Good. No, and that was definitely it for us. A blend of five straight bourbons, easy to drink. Obviously, all these different flavors that we wanted to combine together, so that as it's passing from, you know, the tip of your tongue just right to the back of your mouth, that it's all these different flavors are coming through. And I feel like, it's cheesy as it is, there's a little bit something in there for everyone in terms of all these different flavors that we're pulling out.
Yeah, I like the idea as well that it's kind of like our tribute to bourbon, because there's such variety in the bourbon category. As you know, you can taste bourbons that are more buttery and sweeter, mm-hmm. where the corn really comes through. You can get high rye bourbons, you can get some of those floral grassy notes and everything in between. So the way I see Fistful of Bourbon is that you kind of appreciate all of that, take the best, and then literally blend it into like a thank you to all of bourbon.
Sure. That's a tribute. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tribute to bourbon. And that's, I think, a nice way for us to come in as Scotch distillers, as Scotch blenders, to come in and kind of, that's our contribution. That's the little window in bourbon that we were able to fill.
That sounds so much more artistic, coming with a phenomenal accent and just kind of, you know, like I said, I use the word arrogance. It's the first word that comes to mind. There's no arrogance with it. It's just simply, look, it definitely comes off as a dedication, we're going to try something. And you're bringing both worlds together, mm-hmm. right? Scotch blending has been around, you know, literally hundreds and hundreds of years. And it's something that's always been, you know, at one point it was huge, and then everyone went to the single malt route, and then brands like Compass Box and some of these other brands have really brought back the passion for blending beyond any kind of preconceived arrogance with just saying, we only want a single malt.
Yep.
And for you guys to do that, and I feel like I'm blowing so much smoke y'all's way, it's appreciated. And I'm definitely, like I said, I was so excited to be able to try it. And we've got another little something we'll hit on later. But I think it's phenomenal. And I'm definitely interested to see what kind of cocktails, and I know that because we'll be at Boss Cat later, I plan on getting every cocktail.
Really?
Yeah, because I was sent a couple different cocktails. One of them was something, the Crush or something,
the Smash.
Yeah, the Smash. Yeah. Like it looked really, you know, old fashioned all day, but I love a nice little take on something different. So I'm excited.
Well, and the heat down here in Texas in August wasn't lost on
now.
Me. So
I'm dying.
I wanted our welcome cocktails tonight to be something refreshing,
really
but
light,
that you can still taste Fistful of Bourbon in.
Sure.
So that's the Smash.
Not covered up. So we've got 45 ABV with a $25 price tag. Mm-hmm. 100% straight American whiskey blended by William Grant & Sons. I mentioned to Danielle earlier a little criticism with the press release because of, you know, we're in this age of dissemination of information.
Yep.
And everyone feels like they're an expert.
Oh yeah.
And there's trigger words, right? People yep. always, they hear something, they think, well, blended American whiskey blended, that does, no, it's still bourbon, guys. It's like, calm down. It's not. So they're getting past the any kind of immediate trigger for someone to write something off. I thought that was the only thing I thought. 100% straight American whiskey blended by William Grant & Sons, master blended, Brian Kinsman. Let's see here. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's so straightforward and simple in such a beautiful way. Are there any kind of age statement or any kind of, do we know what kind of age range, or is it all over the map, just kind of blended to profile? I know that Americans are always focused on seeing an age statement.
Yeah.
So with it being straight, obviously we know that everything's a minimum of 2 years old. But like we were saying, it's really for us just being those unique flavor profiles. So they're potentially a spirit that's a lot older, but it's just because we really want to capture that and the floral and the herb notes and really driving them to the forefront of the flavor.
Speaking of 2 years, Texas is something that produces a lot of two-year-old bourbons. I mean, heck, if we can get 2 years here, we're excited.
Yeah.
Because it's so hot. Our Angel Share is tremendous. Yeah. There's a local company here called Whitmire's, and they're consistently producing two-year-old bourbon that everyone is through the roof about. So it's definitely something that I think this is a perfect market for. Let me ask the thought behind that. Why Texas? As Texas, you said there's a lot of us that love it here. Is this a big focus? Like, is Texas as good as I'm hoping you're going to tell me it is?
Yeah, do you know, and so I'd kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but that's exactly it. Everyone here definitely knows their bourbon. They know what's good. And I think because everyone's so open to new innovations and they really want to be on the button with things that are new and up and coming. So we really wanted to trial it to everyone here and say, you know, good stuff and we've got something for you.
Yeah, it's also, I mean, quite a diverse state. This week alone, we've been to San Antonio, Austin, now here in Houston.
Completely different worlds.
Taking off Dallas. Those are four cities in one state, but they're completely different worlds.
Completely different worlds.
It gives us an opportunity also to hear and see feedback from a diverse cultural set.
That's very well stated. I think you're right, because even in my non-work aspect of this, everyone is looking for that next brand. Like, what's, you know, there are a few things coming to market that we've had our hand in assisting getting state distribution. There's a couple of new whiskeys coming out, and there's other groups that have done it too. I think the Bourbon Hounds brought to the state Boone County, which, you know, it's mostly source stuff. It's mostly a little older, but it had never been here. And if it wasn't for this online group saying, like, we want it, and the distributor saying, okay, I trust you, the whole state got it because of one little group in Houston. So it's the same thing with MB Roland and Lynn Cantata, and there's this fanaticism of wanting to know what's the next big thing, and that's good for everybody.
Yeah,
because that means bringing something like this to market, especially without any kind of like huge price tag on it, I think is only going to be well received.
Great. Yeah.
And I think it's even the way the bottle looks, it's a little bit cheeky. You know, we're not coming out there and trying to be something we're not. We're just trying to say
it's very straightforward. It's not some super fancy decanter or anything.
It's not taking itself too seriously. Not that there's
anything wrong with that. Exactly. It is a little bit cheeky.
And total off topic question, are they 6 packs or 12?
Six.
I feel like they're perfect for that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, remember the old Tula Mordew used to have used to be 12 packs.
Yeah.
Danielle's off camera. So Elise, I know Elise watches this. For those of you who know Danielle is definitely watching. She's in the room watching right now. Can I have a little more?
Of course.
Definitely. I'm a fan of drinking at 2 p.m.
Yeah. Will that make the cut, that noise?
Yes.
The car call. We'll do it again just for anyone.
Oh, nice.
It was much better it's much better when she did it than when I did it.
It must be the accent again, huh?
Give you a wee top up.
Thank you.
So tell the world a little bit about who you guys are and what you guys do with William Grant.
Go ahead, Kelsey.
Thank you. So I'm one of the whiskey blenders at William Grant & Sons. So I work across all of our whiskey portfolio. So anything that is a William Grant & Sons product, I work with Brian Kinsman, and we basically take care of all the blending, ensuring quality in all of our products. So it's definitely a fun position to be in. Who doesn't want to nose and taste whiskey every day?
You're a part of all the portfolio. That's a lot of drinking.
Yeah, someone has to do it.
Well, I've always wondered that question as far as, so in bourbon, a lot of master distillers will, when they're tasting and blending, they'll cut it down to 60 proof because they don't want to blow their mouth out four or five pours in with high proof cask strength stuff. The one exception to that was Fred Noe with Beam. He was in here and he's like, I just drink it straight. Like, he's just such a raw American country boy. You know, he was like, I just drink it straight. But so what goes into the art of blending? Do you guys go through 300 samples a day? Are we talking about trying to focus on, you get an idea of something and you want to kind of narrow down on that and then?
Yeah, so I think it depends what different products it is you're looking for. With Fistful, for example, we didn't have anything, a dead set picture of what we wanted it to be. So we were just having a really open mind and, like we were saying, casting the net out really far. Charlotte touched on it earlier about the unique flavors that bourbons can give you. So when we had, I mean, a batch of 20 or 30, they were all so different. They all boast such huge and unique flavors. So it was a great area for us to play in because there's so much freedom. There's so much blending you can do. So for us with Fistful, it's just been a blank page and we were able to create this unique blend. And then when we landed on it, it just happened to be five. We were
It evolved. Exactly. It was a constantly evolving project.
Exactly. And when we do our nosing, we actually do reduce it down to about, well, we talk in ABV, so we're saying about 60.
You can do proof, yeah.
60, 50 proof. And,
okay.
And it's just really because, like we were saying, you don't want to really blow your mouth out after your 50th dram of the day.
Is it?
Responsible drinking now.
Yeah, of course. Always responsible drinking. I've always been curious as far as what a work day looks like. Are you guys, and this is a kind of a peek behind the curtain thing, so.
Yeah.
Are we talking about a full clock in at 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. and you're drinking until 3 p.m. where you're trying to, or is it like you guys kind of minimalize and separate the spurts of, you know what I mean? And then my other question is, how often do you hop around? Because Tullamore Dew's in Ireland and Hudson's in New York, or is it in New York?
Yeah.
I've never actually been there.
Upstate New York.
Yep. Yeah. So it seems like your job has got to be both amazingly fun to travel.
Yeah.
But also, what a spectrum. I mean, I've been to Glenfiddich and Balvenie. my attempt at another Scottish word. And absolutely, God, just stunning and gorgeous. And I've been to Ireland, which is also just stunning and gorgeous.
Yeah.
But answer both questions.
So just right to the very beginning of when I started at Grants, I was just super lucky at William Grants and that I was able to travel around. So I've lived at a lot of the different sites as well. So you really get under the skin of it and you get to see all the little nooks and crannies and everything that goes on behind the scenes. So day to day for us, it's a lot of new make nosing because we want to make sure as soon as that clear spirit runs off the still, it's absolutely perfect. So we do all of our nosing on our new make so that we're filling into high quality cask. We're pretty confident how it's going to turn out. And obviously throughout maturation, we do a lot of sampling as well. So we do, like you're saying, we batch everything up. So if we're doing our new makes, we'll make sure that we're doing all our new makes at once. And it's so, if someone hands you a single spirit, obviously because we do so much nose and you do become really fine-tuned to what you want the spirit character to be like, but if someone just hands you a glass of something and says, what is that, pick it out, then it can be difficult. So we'll make sure that we do all
for
of
some
our...
people.
We don't know those people, but
they don't work for William Grant.
So we make sure that we do one type of spirit, then the next, and then the next, and it's so that you can really pick out those differences. So we do all of our new make and
at
then,
one time and then so I know that Balvenie, they do all their spirits are just slightly peated, right? Just like the minimum, no matter what it is, there's a little peat in all Balvenie. Is it the same for Glenfiddich or is it? No, there's no peat in unless it's something being released here soon.
Exactly. So you are quite right. So we actually put peat into our malting process so that we have that little light note coming through, but it's ever so delicate so that when we do a peated Balvenie, we're really pushing the smoke to the forefront saying this is really what we can do.
Oh yeah, peat week was it's pretty fun. Yeah. She texted me and was like, hey, this is coming out soon. I'm like, super excited about it.
Oh good.
But Glenfiddich's not the same. You guys, no peat, just or not at all?
No, that's exactly it. So it's works between the two. So we dedicate certain times of the year where we make sure that we do a peated run. And it's the same with Bovenny. So I don't know if anyone's spoken about how Peat Week, the name actually came about. And it's because that's a dedicated week of peat distilling at the distillery.
Right before you guys shut down, correct?
That is correct. You've done your homework.
I'm a huge, not homework. I'm just a huge fan of you guys. My wife and I, I've told this story before. I may not have told it on air, but we, when we got married, we didn't have a lot of money. But we were just getting into the hobby, right? Huge fan of whiskey. Any chance we could get, we had found a bottle of Balvenie 15 single barrel. And that was our marriage bottle. And so over the years, every year on our anniversary, we have one pour out of it.
Oh, lovely.
And
oh,
then,
that's
nice. And so, and if you do that right, it should last about 10 years, right? So then it's about time to get a new bottle. And but we don't drink Balvenie 15 at any other time. So any other time throughout the year, if we come across it or go to an event, we avoid the 15. Mm. That's our marriage bottle. And it's something that I've been a huge fan of you guys in general. And just the fact that there are not many brands out there who are dabbling in everything and trying literally everything. I mean, they're really trying to just constantly evolve and try new things and take out any kind of preconceived notions. I mean, from Ice Storm or Winter Storm to the XX. I mean, you guys, the IPA cast, the Bourbon Reserve. I mean, it's literally just like, that sounds interesting. That sounds awesome. Let's do this. Let's do that. And our group in particular is actually a huge fan of everything you guys do. I mean, Jay, I always want to call him JJ from B&B, Jeremiah. They've done a Hudson pick a couple different times, right? Two of them, yeah. So you guys are very well loved in the city, even before the bourbon came out. So I'm super excited to like really. I think it's an honor, right?
Yeah,
just for Texas to have it, for Houston to have it, and I'm definitely interested in an old fashioned. So if you want to
is
take
that
it
my
away,
cue?
Well, actually, while you're doing that,
I can get started. How about that?
While you're doing that, tell me, you know, we've heard from Kelsey. Let's hear more from you.
Sure. So my title these days is Director of Brand Advocacy for William Grant & Sons here in the US. What that really means is I look after our brand ambassador program. And you've already mentioned that you've met a few of the guys. So,
are you Allardyce's boss?
Not technically.
Oh man! What about Wingo? Can I give him a little hard time?
Well, so I look after them, you know, it's a nice way to put it.
Sure.
So yeah, I lead the team. I lead the brand ambassador program. I work with all of those guys very closely. We're one big family, happy for the most part.
Yeah.
I started as a Glenfiddich brand ambassador 12 years ago. Did that for almost a year, and then I was the very first Hendrick's ambassador that the company had in the US. And
Hendrick's Gin, for those wondering.
Yes, sorry, Hendrick's Gin.
No, it's okay.
And even though that was 10 years ago now or so, most people still know me as Hendrick's. But that role also evolved as our brand ambassador program grew, and I quickly kind of oversaw all of our brands and all of our brand ambassador activity. So my kind of, not that there's anyone routine day. That's
sure.
A complete myth. All the rumors are true. It's a crazy world out there in ambassador land. But it's all about bartender education, creating cocktails, doing the fun events, traveling a lot. But it's great. It's been a tremendous ride with the company. They've looked after me very well.
There's, I don't consider us opponents, but the focus for a lot of brands has always been on premise, right? Bars make the biggest impact, or historically might have been the case. I have always, at least the last few years, have always argued that the Facebook world, the Facebook groups, are doing far more for brands in general. Meaning the you know, as time goes on, marketing strategies change, they develop, they evolve. I've been arguing for quite some time that I think these Facebook groups are making more of an impact on brands than a bar would. Theoretically speaking, you know, a bar, and just to kind of give you guys some background, a bottle at a bar will yield about 17 pours, you know, meaning that 17 people are going to get this. So one bottle goes a lot further of a footprint of advertising to people. And of course, there's a correlation that's tied to brand presence. When a bar sells a bottle, like if it, as they go, it causes all the brands at that bar to kind of go up in sales. So if you are dabbling in bourbon or dabbling in scotch and Hendrix, that those sales for the entire brand kind of grow up. So it's a great way to introduce people to new spirits. It's a great way to expand people's minds on, I'll be honest with you, I could not get behind gin a year ago. And it wasn't until Copper and Kings kind of introduced me to their barrel strength gin, which is a super high proof old Tom style gin that they kind of aged in a barrel, which you're technically not supposed to do with gin or whatever. And it kind of expanded my mind outside the bourbon realm or in the scotch realm. Right. And it's something that I've always really loved about this hobby is people are evolving beyond their comfort zone. And it's something that you guys have been doing for quite some time, right? You guys have been doing a little bit of everything. It's a lot of fun to, we're in a golden era of spirits. I think we're doing really well overall as the world over when it comes to spirits. And it's exciting to see those things evolve.
Yeah. And do you know, just when you were saying about, you know, aging gin in a barrel and it's not technically allowed.
Yeah.
It's like, why not? Let's be innovative and do different things. So definitely we are always trying to push the boat out. And when we think of our little innovations, we've always got something bubbling away in the background. If we hear of anything weird and wonderful going, or we're always trying to come up with new ideas, because who doesn't want to do that? There's something about whiskey, I think, that gets everyone's chest a little bit puffed out. And any drink, really, people love going into a bar and being able to point at something and say, I know how that's made, or I know what goes into it. So it's definitely the way that we are as well. You love, you know, coming in here, talking about any William Grant & Sons products or Fistful of Bourbon and being a bit like cheeky with it. And yeah, that's how it's done. You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, we Americans, I mean, it's the quintessential manly man's drink, right? I mean, everyone loves
it. Was
a glass. It was right. I don't mean to paint it in that corner, but that's, you say we like to puff our chest out, and it's absolutely true. There's something. That's where that snobbish behavior comes from, is everyone starts off drinking stuff a certain way, with maybe mixed with Coke or something. And then as you evolve and you kind of get outside your comfort zone, you learn more about spirits. You learn to respect the spirit itself, as opposed to only doing it the way that you learned maybe in college. So yeah, there's a lot of pride that comes with that. And it's just like you said, I think the one thing that's killed beer in Germany is their purity laws. They won't let you experiment. You come to America, we'll make beer with a leather boot, and we'll throw in a couple of sticks that we found in our backyard, and we'll turn it into some craft beer that people go crazy over. It's something, just to give you an example, we had on Ingenious Brewing here in Houston, they made a beer with 50 pounds of Lucky Charm marshmallows. And it tastes like a beer with Lucky Charms marshmallows in it. It's very oily, and it has got that marshmallow note to it. But
I bet it does.
Yes.
50 pounds?
It's something – well, they 50 pounds per barrel. So it was an interesting release, but it was very well received. And it's something that the beer world's been doing a while. They've been constantly – and I think overall, I would say American bourbon has been very slow to change. Everyone's very – old-fashioned, they're very stubborn and like evolving, and we've gotten to the barrel finishes that which we borrowed from Scotland, right? Let's be honest. Scotland's been doing I've always said that with scotch, the range of flavors are so much more vast than what you would normally get with bourbon, because we're so stubborn and trying new things. And but that's no longer the case. I mean, Angel's Envy does you know, a port barrel bourbon. Bell Mead's been doing finishes for a while. Everyone's trying new things. So I'm rambling a bit, but I'm just excited. It's a good time. And I'm excited to try this too.
I know. So. It's hypnotizing watching Charlotte make these, isn't it?
I don't know about that. So this is the old fashioned. So I've kept it really quite simple. Just if you are a whiskey drinker or an old fashioned drinker, it's an easy cocktail to understand how Fistful then behaves in a mixed drink. So this is 2 ounces or 2 parts Fistful of Bourbon, a half ounce or a half part of grapefruit oleosaccharum simple syrup, and then a couple of dashes of Angostura.
I will never call it simple syrup again. It's oleosaccharum.
This one is that I've made, yeah.
Oleosaccharum. Oh, yeah. I'm learning something new every day.
She's giving me lessons.
A grapefruit twist instead of an orange, because we're in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
That's my tribute to the state for the week.
If you knew Texas really well, there'd be a Hatch chili in it because HEB puts it in everything.
Next time. We'll come back and do that.
I don't know why, but they've kind of, it's like we had this leftover, totally unrelated to the podcast, but this leftover vegetable that's been around, this Hatch chili that wasn't really used much a few years ago. And then this one grocery store put it in everything. They make a beer with it. It's in tamales. It's in everything. So it's something that Texas has adopted, kind of forced on us, but we love it. It's delicious. Wow.
Great. Let's get it in a cocktail then.
Exactly.
I'm surprised there hasn't been one yet. Maybe someone at BossCat can jump on that.
Yeah.
Someone will be listening to this like, I'm doing it at home. Yeah. What are you talking about? Yeah.
How long have you guys been in market?
We got in on Sunday evening and kicked things off in San Antonio Monday morning.
So it's been a full week. Who's been driving you around together?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes when someone, flies in, there's usually like someone that'll chauffeur them around constantly all over the state. I think when Al Young was here with Four Roses, you guys don't stop really. When you're in market, you just go.
No.
How tired are you right now?
I'm fine. Yeah, loving it. No,
I'm exhausted. I had to chug a chai latte on the way here.
We're kind of at our halfway point actually, right? Yeah. In the week, so feeling good. So it's been a lot of fun.
You've got BossCat tonight. Mm-hmm. What else is on the schedule this week?
We're driving to Dallas tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
So we have a few interviews, meetings with journalists tomorrow in Dallas in the morning and mid-afternoon, and then we'll do a happy hour in the evening.
Cool. I'm sorry they couldn't find a journalist here for you to talk to. They just got me. Have you ever been to Texas before?
Because yes,
the drive
I have,
to Dallas is pretty long. It's like 5-6 hours. 6 hours if you're driving responsibly.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
So not then.
Yeah.
Yeah, we heard that Texas was big, It's a lot bigger than Scotland and England combined.
Absolutely. So this is my first time in Texas, and you have not disappointed with the heat.
Oh, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
It's something that it gets worse every year. So next year when you're here, there'll probably be some more AC units in here because this is just absolutely, it's humid, it's hot. Everyone's AC struggling. But we're proud to be Texans.
Yeah.
We love it here. Did you hear that on the mic? Yeah, cool.
Good. We've got a couple of other drinks, I think, that we're serving tonight, too. So nice and refreshing for the
BossCat's one of the newer whiskey bars here in Houston. But, man, they've really kind of hit the ground running. I mean, they're opening a new place in the Heights, or it's already open. Yeah.
Oh, great.
They something like 300 whiskeys. I mean, and for those who don't know, maybe you can answer this. Activations. I've always thought activations were just like an event, any event that you guys do in general with brands, right? Yes. Yeah. So would you call tonight an activation, or would you call it?
Launch.
Yeah. It's something that, for those who are familiar with the Whiskey Social, that would have been an activation, right? You're doing an event. And you guys, there's not just festivals here in Houston. There's a tremendous amount of dinners and stuff that's done at like places like Federal, which is one of my all-time favorite places in Houston. And BossCat is definitely one of the ones that is just boom, 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 hitting them out of the park.
Great
selection too.
Yeah, no, you definitely have so many trendy bars here. We've tried to see as many as we could in between our busy schedule, and they haven't disappointed. It's
been great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Loving it.
So one other thing that I wanted to kind of dabble on before we go too long, I know we've only got a few more minutes. You guys have something else coming up in the next coming weeks, something back into the world of experimenting and blending. Can you talk just a little bit about what's in front of me?
Yeah. We've got Glenfiddich Fire and Cane, which is part of our experimental series. So when Glenfiddich launched the experimental series, the whole idea was really, we were talking about innovation before, it was just really to push the boundaries. So we were wanting people to think of Scotch whiskey, because obviously we were talking about the rules and regulations that go into everything. And it's the same with Scotch. So we wanted as far as we could really just to push the boat out. So here we've got Glenfiddich Fire and Cane, which is a mix, like we were talking about, of our Glenfiddich peated spirit and our unpeated. We've blended them together, selected our chosen casks, and we've finished into Latin rum casks.
Latin rum casks.
Yes.
So when you say Latin, you mean Central American, or are we talking Does Spain make rum? I'm not familiar. How Latin are we talking?
As Latin as Latin.
As
can
Latin
be.
As Latin can get. The going back to traditional, you know, Scotland's a weird, interesting loophole because it is very traditional, and they are very historically stubborn with doing some things with their single malts, and it seemed like they kind of left this gaping loophole when it comes to barrels that has allowed you guys to really run with trying new things. And you know, I know brands like Compass Boxes had to like butt heads a little bit with certain councils and stuff. And this, I'm a huge peat fan. So when this came out, and rum is exploding now too, because bourbon has kind of, going back to how reasonably priced Fistful is, bourbon is pricing itself out of its own category. Mm-hmm. And there are, and what I mean by that is bourbon's not hurting, but a lot of people are stepping outside their comfort zone with bourbon and trying stuff like rum and mezcals and other things because it's a little bit more reasonably priced. I mean, you guys just hit the nail on the head. I mean, you're introducing something in an already exploding category at a reasonably price without any kind of shenanigans or kind of, you know, one thing that happens in the snobby bourbon world is people like to give packaging a hard time, right? So when you pay $100 and it comes in this gorgeous box that also tells you, you know, what time it is in Sweden, and it comes with a set of binoculars, you're like, I don't understand what's happening. I just want the whiskey. So it's just a very kind of a straightforward category. And I know I'm, again, all over the map here. I'm super excited about this. Do we know, one, it's here, right? The Fire and Cane, it's out technically. Do we know what the price point is as well?
Yep.
That's, for those who didn't hear that, that was $49.99. Also suggested, super reasonable as well. Typically, I think what people are willing to hit the nail or be introduced to is around the $60 mark with some like that. I think the IPA cask was around $60 or something like that. And I've already tried it actually. So I'm super excited to touch it again. What's next on the horizon for William Grant, or what can you talk about that's next on the horizon for William Grant?
We were talking about this actually yesterday and all these little innovations. So I think the easiest way to answer it will be when we come back next year. Well, something else.
You heard it here first, folks. She'll tell us next time. I've also been curious with you being involved with the blending. Are they, do you have any aspirations for doing your own blend? Is there something that you'd like to try? I see it in your eyes. Is there something that you'd like to do? Like you have an idea of what, you know, if they give you the chance or if they, or they have, I see it in your eyes.
Are these a giveaway?
You keep your eye. But I just, as a, if being involved at any level with the final product, which apparently, you know, which obviously clearly you are, it would be exciting, I would imagine, to really have your own little baby to just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. So when we're talking about Fistful, it's been so exciting for everyone at Grants, but especially me, because this is the first little baby, if you like, that I've worked on from concept right through to being this bottle we've got in front of us. So when you're given that opportunity and talking about how greedy you get and how the puffed out chest that you get, it is the effect with everything. So definitely I've got huge aspirations that throughout the entire process, tweaking all these little things and fermentation and distillation, cask finishing side of things, I think there's so many things we can do in Scotch, you know, just to give it different flavors. And I mean, bourbon is just an example of the fact that we've not restrained ourselves to a single category. So pushing the boat out and doing something in the American whiskey side of things, it's been so much fun.
Are you guys going to continue doing something? Is there hope for another bourbon in the future? Maybe some plane in the...
Maybe. Did my wink work? I don't know.
Yeah. No. You get something in your eye.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a Scottish wink.
it's awesome. I just, you know, this hobby has yielded a lot of excitement. So I really, we're not over yet, but I couldn't thank you guys enough for coming on and just kind of talking about everything. And I look forward. That old fashioned was phenomenal. Anytime, I don't know what the average mash bill is. Do we have any idea? What, like, are we talking high rye or high wheat? Do we know it's a blend of it? We don't know, or?
So we're just leaving it basically to everyone's imagination. I feel like we're wanting everyone to nose and taste the blend and pick out. But we have used a few different cereals in there just because there's no other way we could really do it without calling out those different mash bills to get those toffee floral flavors.
Well, it makes a really good old fashioned. So in right. my mind, I'm thinking a high rye bourbon, you know, because
where's the blindfold?
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely not. I'm not talented blind tester for sure. But a good old fashioned is a good old fashioned. So
great.
And a key ingredient to that, like you said, it's bourbon, simple syrup, a little dash of bitters. Mm-hmm. I feel like a drink like this is focused on the spirit, even though there's other things in the glass. It's not covered yeah. with a, you know, an umbrella and a shoe, or you know what I mean, just there's not, I keep talking about shoes for some reason. I'm gonna have another drink.
So glad we left out the umbrella and the shoe for this.
I know, I was good call.
You left it in the car.
Exactly, give it back in the bag.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on. I look forward to having drinks tonight. Are we having food tonight too? Good, that's awesome. Thank
Great.
You so much.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely, Charlotte, appreciate
Thank
it
you very
Kelsey
much.
Kelsey yeah. All right, guys, this will air this week, right? Yeah, sweet. All right, we'll talk soon. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.